the sacrifices, they would. They'd put the lambs, or they'd put the doves, they'd put the goats, they'd put the sheep on top of an altar. And they would kill them. And then they would burn them. But God is saying He wants it to be living sacrifice. Part of that living sacrifice is to lead music like you do out there. Amen? That's part of it. But you know the problem with the living sacrifice? Every so often it wants to crawl off the altar. Doesn't it? And we're guilty of that. Lord, I don't think I'm ready for this. Lord says, I think you're ready. Lord sometimes says that, that we say, hey, wait a minute. I'd rather have an easier path. And the Lord says, how can you get stronger without being put through the heat and through the tempering of the oil? And so sometimes we have a better idea than God. So it's important that we are willing to be a living sacrifice and stay there for God's changing. When we forget we're in the foundation of Christ, we try to go it alone. And don't raise your hands, but how many here has ever felt totally, absolutely alone at times after you trusted Christ? And probably it's because, well, not probably, it's because we've moved. But the thing is, it says in God's Word that He goes with us in the depths of hell. He goes with us in the heights of the mountains. And He goes with us. He's with us. So when we feel alone, it's not that He's there. He's right next to you, just like I'm right next to you. Okay? But the problem is we refuse to acknowledge His hand on our shoulder. We refuse to acknowledge that He's beside of us. And we have decided to close Him out. And we've seen that happen in our relationship with others, have we not? We decide to close them out. I'm ashamed at times, a few times, maybe too many times, with Pam, that I wasn't ready for what she wanted to say, and I closed her out. I made her more frustrated. That was especially in the early days, because my parents did argue all the time, and so I told myself I never would argue with Pam. And when I wouldn't come back with words, she got frustrated because I wasn't saying anything. Husbands, it's dumb to say nothing when your wife is sharing with you. Come up with something. Not a retaliation, but come up with, okay, help me see. Help me show. Show me what needs to be done. I'm here as a teachable husband. Now, I've never been a wife, so I can't advise you ladies on that. But us guys, I can. So it's important. It's important that we, when we feel alone, that we understand He is there with us in the deepest hurt or sin we face. He is there with us in the highest mountain of adversity. His love never fails. We sang the goodness of God. Am I right? And in there, we talk about His presence, and we talk about His giving. We talk about our thanksgiving to Him. That's something we need to put on our mouths and our hearts when times come and we're hurting. So what's the application? Thompson, you need to move ahead. Okay, keep moving. Please. Keep going. Yep. Keep going. I think you about 10 more. Here we go. Application. I've got it already written in your notes, I think. Are we on the right foundation? If you do not know Jesus Christ as Savior, and I didn't, until my second year at Halstead, religious, I was active in religious, I was engaged, but I was not in the right foundation. And when I accepted Jesus Christ, I was on the right foundation. So, are we on the right foundation? That's a question for each of us. Are we on the right foundation? Second of all, are we building proactively? So many times I've seen people who come to church and even accept Jesus Christ as Savior and then think, oh, I don't have to work on anything. It's like a deacon. How many remember my four chairs message? I actually preached it in the combined service. That's been a few years ago. So, the four chairs. First chair is the chair of the unbeliever. And that's where we all start. And then the second chair is the chair of the baby believer. And that's where we start when we accept Jesus Christ. And babies are normally selfish. Babies are normally want their own. And babies don't know how to do stuff unless we do it for them. Then we have the chair of the teaching leader. That's the one who takes what they've been taught and helps others to see that in their life, in their ministry. And then we have the chair of the reproducing leader. That's the one that comes alongside and says, let me help you to be the leader God's called you to be. So I'm so excited you asked our friend here to come today. I'm excited for that, because you want him to have what you have. That's, I'm excited when I see new people here because someone invited them. I'm excited when someone comes up and says, hey, I need to grow. I need to grow in the Word. Help me with that. And by the way, just a side note, on the back table I've got quiet times for adults. We have quiet times for children, but I know there's 90 children in here, so I have quiet time for adults, two styles. And over there, you'll also see quiet time connection. That's how to have family devotions. Take the booklet. Don't take the quiet times. Look at the quiet times. But the idea here is that we need to be building proactively. When you build a building and you paint it, are you done? Are you done? No. Because a few years down the road, you're going to have to repaint the building, unless you put permanent siding on that has 100% guarantee for the next million years. So, but I just put siding on and put roof on our house, because there was problems there. That we painted our kitchen. Oh, I didn't do that. I'm a terrible painter. But my daughter and my wife, I painted the kitchen. You're never really done. And there's so many things I could illustrate with, but we're never done. We're constantly doing stuff to make it better. To make it better. That's true in our life. When we start with quiet time, that's good. When we start praying, and I've told you that when I think some of you might remember that when I started praying regularly, I basically had four or five things every day I prayed for. Myself, my wife, my kids. And so basically four or five things. And then I had two or three things I would pray for on Monday, two or three things on Tuesday, etc. And then it grew to about maybe 20 things daily. And today I pray for about 100 different people every day. I pray for 300 people plus each day of the week. 300 on Monday, another 300 on Tuesday, another 300 on Wednesday. A lot of pastors on Wednesday and Sunday. But that didn't come overnight. It came with time. I encourage you to start with little steps. Amen? Little steps. Pray for a few. But never stop in growing. what's the last thing? Which part of our structure are we building with God's help? Time in the Word, time in prayer, time in service, time in caring for others, or loving others. And then as I say each time, don't pick all of them. Pick one. What is one area that you could grow in? What is one area Ken Dady can grow in? What is one area, Alex, you can grow in? Amen. I could go around the room. What is one area you could grow in? Well, I have to start with this. Do you have the right foundation? Do you know Jesus Christ as Savior? Easy to do, but tough for some people because we sometimes think we can do it on our own. And it's interesting. My brother was like that. And then one day when I was out with him in Colorado, he was the engineer of a radio and TV station out there in Colorado. He took me one of the highest mountains that we could drive up to. And we sat there and we looked across the panorama. He said, Ken, I run. My best friends are the top scientists in America and some in the world. They have their doctorates, and he named the different disciplines. He said, we've come to one conclusion. There's so much order, there's so much structure. Only a fool would not believe there's a creator. We see so much detail. Only a fool would believe there's not a creator. Now my brother is the chief engineer for a TV and radio station across the eastern half of the United States, because he believes in the cause, because he believes in the foundation of Jesus Christ. Let me ask you, do you know him? Let's just bow our heads. He asked two phases. One, do you know Jesus Christ? And if not, it's easy to do. As I said, it's saying to the Lord, I believe I'm a sinner. And just saying, Jesus, I believe you died for me. I believe you shed your blood for me. I believe that you were put in the grave. I believe that you were raised from the dead. I believe that you're the only way to heaven. I accept you now as my Savior. Easy to do, but again, being willing to humble ourselves enough to do that. I like to go through that again, slowly. If you want to say that to God, you can say it quietly and silently in your heart, your head. You don't have to say it out loud. Let me ask, would you do that? Would you just talk to him? Just say, dear God, please forgive me, a sinner. Jesus, I believe you died for me. Just tell him that. Jesus, I believe that you shed your blood for me. Just tell him that. Jesus, I believe that you're the only way to heaven. Just tell him that. Jesus, I believe that you were raised from the dead. Just tell me. Jesus, I accept you as my Savior. Did you just say that to him? Privately? Quietly? From your heart? Thank you, Jesus, for receiving. With no one looking except for myself, is there anyone here that just prayed that? With her whole heart. Just pray that with her whole heart. Just shake her head yes. I pray that with her whole heart. Amen. I'd love to be able to talk with you afterwards. Ask if you allow me to. Let me ask Christians. You know Jesus Christ. You have that foundation. By the way, the ones that just said yes, I prayed that. You have the foundation. You now have Jesus Christ. You are in the right place that will help you through times of joy, times of trouble. But those who know Jesus Christ right now, let me ask, is there one of those structural walls? One of those structural walls, or maybe the wall covering that we need to improve on? Is it prayer? Is it getting into God's Word? Is it memorizing God's Word? is it service? Just pick one, not all of them, just one. What is one area I need to change? What is one area that I need to modify? What is one area that I can bring glory to God and grow in my spiritual building? Name it before Him. Ask God to help you in it. Ask God to help you in it. Did you name it? Were you practical? Were you personal? So would you just shake your head at us? Father, I thank you for my brothers and sisters at DCCC. Help us now as we serve you, as we praise you, as we grow in you. We grow in our peace, we grow in our joy, we grow in our witness, we grow in shining for you. Lord, help us to know your presence. Acknowledge your presence, walk in your presence. In Jesus' name.